Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast, the movie review and talk show podcast that comes your way every Saturday, whether you're ready for it or not. And our quest for total world domination. We also want to conquer heaven and hell. That's what we're on a mission to do here.
Have we gotten the Earth? We're going up and down now.
We've already done the galaxy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We have to tackle other planes, you know, and our metaphysical conquest.
I'm down for that.
And these are the people who are going to do it. The internet radio superstars.
Michaela.
Holly.
Sean.
And I'm Colin. And tonight we watched a movie that was chosen by...
Colin. Colin, what do we watch tonight?
Tonight we watched... Constantine.
John Constantine.
Asshole. That's the sequel. John Constantine.
Just cut out the middleman and call him Johnstantine, man. Why are we even going with John Constantine? I can't believe that's his real name.
Well, I mean, like a movie called Constantine, you might think was about, you know, like the historical Constantine.
Like the Emperor Constantine.
Yes.
Yeah.
From the year?
2005.
Okay.
19 years ago.
What a year. Man, it really is turning into a year, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2005.
Are we doing a lot from 2005? So what's happening?
House of Wax was just the last seminal movie we watched from 2005.
Right, it's getting old.
We decided it was seminal.
yeah, I guess we
on that podcast. Yeah. It was like the navel of the 2000s. Like everything just met there.
Yeah, right, which you can only determine after the fact. And you go back and watch it, you're like, holy that's the nexus.
Yep, it really is. Yeah. Directed by
Francis Lawrence. This is his first feature film.
This is his first feature film?
Yeah.
He did so many afterwards.
Yeah, because afterwards, well, the big one that he did that you probably saw it well, he did I Am Legend.
Okay.
He did I Am Legend.
And then I want to say he did, isn't there a romantic comedy in there? And then he did
Water for Elephants.
There you go. Okay. And then he did four of the five Hunger Games movies.
Oh, wow. So he's into the CGI heavy movies. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Red Sparrow, so he's stuck with Jennifer
Lawrence.
No
one saw that.
I don't think they did.
I saw it.
Did you?
Yes.
How was it?
It was. Even bland.
Yeah, he even directed Jennifer Lawrence in some Dior commercials and everything.
Yeah, he did a lot of commercials, a lot of music. He was a music video director and commercial.
Yeah, he's got everybody covered.
Rihanna, I mean, garbage. All of them, you know.
Wow.
He was a music video director. And so that's why, you know, obviously you see a guy doing $100 million. Well, we figured the budget, according to Wikipedia on this, is somewhere between 70 and 100 million.
So crazy.
Bigger than most of the budgets, I guess, that we do on the show. I felt guilty watching it tonight. I'm like, this is like a big studio movie.
Really is.
Yeah.
What's Keanu Reeves coming off of?
The Matrix 1 and 2 and 3, right?
Yeah, all three before this? Because 1999 was the first one, right?
Yeah, so he was the Matrix guy, I think, at this point in his career. And then he did Constantine.
Was he in 1403?
1408?
1408.
No,
Cusack.
Yeah.
I thought he was in some horror movie right around this time, though.
The Watcher.
Yeah, that's it. We did an episode on that. Nice fall movie, Watcher.
All right, so this movie stars
Keanu Reeves coming off the. I mean, more importantly, I guess it's the. So, you know, I was inspired to bring it because the last movie that I chose on the show was The Prophecy. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what got me thinking about this, because that movie has Christopher Walken as the angel Gabriel on Earth. This movie has Tilda Swinton as the angel Gabriel. Why is it always Gabriel?
I was going to ask. I'm pointing
Gabriel's
at Holly right now.
Significance?
The archangel Gabriel.
I'm up. Gabriel is the one who fell from heaven?
No.
Who fell from heaven?
Lucifer.
Yeah. Okay. Gabriel was like the messenger. He was the one that announced the coming of Jesus.
He has the trumpet.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's the archangel.
He's like the messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like God's PR person.
Okay.
So
he's like an A-list angel.
Perfect for that.
Yeah.
Tilda Swinton's in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it the seraphim? Are they like the second fiddle to God? Are they like the highest ranked angels
now
or something like that?
Things,
yeah,
I'm just like,
that's not mentioned in this.
Yeah, seraphim is a type of angel. So they're supposed to be like pillars of fire and wings, and they're just supposed to be terrified
when humans see them.
Yeah. Okay,
what is the purpose of that, and why should an angel terrify people?
Why shouldn't
just
they?
The fear of God? No, why do they?
I think it's because they're seeing. You know, when you see the majesty of God. You know, yeah. it blows your mind.
It's too much. Look away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take your word. I mean, it's God.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
That inspired it. However, there's been a lot of. I've been also watching a bunch of.
I mean, this is all. You know, the Bible is subjective depending on who you are. That's real. It is a book compiled. I mean, since we're talking about Constantine, the Bible was compiled under Emperor Constantine in a council of men with a very specific agenda.
Who sorted
through thousands of texts and picked certain ones.
And
made the Bible.
This is Holly saying every problem I have with this. They picked it. It's someone's interpretation.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys are not experts.
They had an agenda and they put their agenda in a book.
And then it was translated over hundreds, if not thousands of
languages, and nothing got lost from where we started to where we are now.
Yeah.
The word of God.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean,
I'd rather read the Devil Bible.
Well, no, it's not nothing. It's got nothing on the Quran because there actually is a copy of the Quran in heaven, according to Islam.
Okay.
I think we're getting into territory.
Gabriel is mentioned in the Quran. Gabriel's mentioned in multiple texts. Like, honestly, Christianity takes all of their stories from other religions.
Right.
The Old Testament exists in every religion.
That's always the question I think I have is like, what was Christianity stealing from and where is Christianity?
They steal from everyone.
I believe it.
Gilgamesh, I think the story of Gilgamesh is basically Noah and the flood. These are ancient stories. I mean, it's interesting why those are the stories that kind of connect and, you know, are identifiable as like signposts along like the human condition or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, been watching a lot of Exorcist and exorcism movies. And I was like, why not do the DC Comics one? Mm-hmm. And so that's why we got the DC Comics Exorcist. And that's John Constantine. John Constantine. I was first introduced to John Constantine. This is all bringing it back, right? Because there is this formative comic that I read as a child, and it was called Swamp Thing. And
not where I thought you were going.
Yeah. No.
Does he show up in Swamp Thing?
He was created for Swamp Thing.
Oh.
He was created by Alan Moore. Alan Moore, if you don't know who Alan Moore is, he was an author, is an author who basically... in some ways legitimized comic books as actual like literary
for adults.
Yes. And he did a run. He had done Miracle Man prior to this, but I think like he was then hired to do Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. And he did this run of the saga of the Swamp Thing, which was like Swamp Thing kind of finding out who, because Swamp Thing was created as like a Frankenstein kind of creature, right? We saw the movie. It's like he was a man. He got doused with a chemical. He turned into a plant. But
when you say it that way,
right, a plant man. But Alan Moore like re-engineered it and basically said like, no, there is no man there. Like the human is gone, and you know you're a plant who thinks you're a man. And so then that kind of unlocked like you know this like godlike creature, the Swamp Thing.
All of us, we're just things that think we're men.
That's true.
Is each of our thing a journey to discover what we are?
So that's why Swamp Thing is such a crucial text. Did we answer the question of why he's here on Constantine?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, he also used that, I think we said before, when he did what, did we do
we're
an Alan Moore thing before we talked about him on something that we did?
We did talk about
V for Vendetta, but Swamp Thing, I think, was a dry run for Dr. Manhattan in Watchmen.
Yes.
And that's basically the thing that Alan Moore is known for. Alan Moore is also known for not taking any credit on any feature film stuff.
I thought you were going to say not taking any crap from anything. He's a weird guy.
Have you seen what he looks like? He looks like a wizard.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he dresses like a wizard. He looks like a wizard.
He thinks he's a wizard. Yep. Like, for real, he's a magician.
Yeah. You write some great stuff.
And he created John Constantine. Now, John Constantine in the comics was basically a guy who was kind of helping Swamp Thing along this journey of discovery. He'd show up at different point, you know, whatever.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And he looked like Sting.
Not Keanu Reeves.
No, he looked like Sting.
Yes.
I think intentionally. This is the artist, Stephen Bissett, was the guy who designed the look of Constantine. And when I say Sting, you kids out there, I'm not talking about the wrestler.
No.
Right. I'm talking about the singer.
We're talking about the original Fade Rauta from
but
Dune.
That's a great question. When I say Sting, what comes to your head? And yeah. I'd love to hear just people's reactions to that.
Yeah. So I want to cover all bases there. We're talking about the recording artist.
Yes.
The Police. Yeah.
From The Police. Yeah. And he in a yellow trench coat. And that right. is John Constantine.
Blonde hair, the tan trench coat, yes. tie, black tie.
And smoking. He's from Liverpool. He's very British.
Right. This could not be more different than what we saw on the screen.
Right.
Yes. So how did we get from there to, or what do we think of the interpretation, I guess, is the story that we're gonna go into on when we watch tonight's movie. But yeah, I mean, Constantine has since, you know, I think they tried to make a franchise movie here. And then there was an NBC television show.
There was.
What was the guy who they cast in that? I don't remember his name, but there was an actor who kind of embodied what the comic book fans thought John Constantine was.
I don't remember this.
I think he showed up in a few CW shows first.
Yeah, because that was like a huge thing. Yeah. Like,
Matt Ryan.
Yeah. He was on this NBC show. And then when they started doing like The Flash.
The poster's very 2014 for this TV show.
Yeah. And then when they started doing The Flash and Arrow and stuff like that for on the CW, they ended up, that's
the
closer to the comic
2014.
Book. Yeah. But then they rehired this guy to play the character again. And so then he became kind of part of the CW Arrowverse.
Yes.
He was like the Constantine from that.
Yep.
And then this guy, Matt Ryan, has done the voice because now John Constantine's part of like Justice League Dark and all this other stuff.
Right.
So he's a magician.
Constantine?
I mean, they're basically going after the idea of the character in the movie. What is he? How does he make a living?
Is sending demons back to hell?
It's very supernatural.
Like, at the very beginning of the movie, like after he exorcises that demon, is he like, where's the scratch? Give me some money for this.
No.
Like, how does he make money? Like, is he just living in this kind of group of people and they all support each other?
It's like the Winchesters, like from Supernatural. It's the same concept.
How do they make money?
Yeah, I was going to say, that makes no
they
sense
just,
to me.
They just fraud. They just steal.
Oh, they steal. Well, they steal from the bad guys.
They make
you get
up
the resources. You kill the bad guy and you take.
Yeah, they make up like fake identities and stuff and scam like rich people.
Are we supposed to believe that Constantine? This is like nobody cares about this. Who's seen the movie? Is he poor? Like he's just living above the. He's like a tramp.
$200 shirt. I don't think he's poor. Later on, well, like $200 shirt, asshole.
Because see here on this watch, I was curious about this question. So I'm like, how does what does he do for a living? And how did he make his money? So I paid attention to the dialogue, and it turns out that because of his gift, he tracked down a bunch of relics, religious relics, and he sold those to Papa Midnight. And that room that Papa Midnight has, I think, is all the shit that John Constantine and others have sold to him over the years. So he's rich.
Oh, he did mention that, selling relics. And yeah, he does.
Okay.
He's like, I left that game behind and whatever.
So he deals in antiquities.
Yes.
But like at a part-time level. Yeah.
If you ever meet anybody that says they deal in antiquities, question them thoroughly.
Become their friend. Don't question them. Become their friend.
Either or, because you're going to find some shit out, I have a feeling.
You don't want to ask questions.
Why not?
Where they came from or how they got it.
Don't ask questions.
Definitely curses attached to all that stuff.
No, if you go down there's people trading some weird stuff on the like, how did you get this? Because you would have to be like in a morgue somewhere, if you know what I'm saying.
In order to get the Elephant Man's bones.
Yeah.
Yep.
From Bare Naked Ladies.
From Bare Naked Ladies. Thank you.
So Keanu Reeves is the unlikely John Constantine. Very American. This
very
takes
American.
Place in Los Angeles.
His trench coat's not even tan.
No,
it's
like
black.
There's so
they,
many.
They put the 2005 emo filter on him because it fits
just
with
like,
this
we
time.
We couldn't just change out the color of the trench coat. The priest friend wears the right trench coat. But why doesn't he?
I know.
Certain things stylistically, I'm just like.
Yeah. I mean, it is a look, I mean, I guess, but it's very, you know, like you said, it's like Neo. You know, you're
it does.
Neo
business
into that.
Casual Neo.
Like Men in Black.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention. Now that I'm looking at it, you know, it's like the title's Constantine. His comic though, because he was, you know, and so after Swamp Thing, it was Hellblazer.
Yeah.
And even Hellblazer was not the original title, right? They wanted to call it Hellraiser because that's basically what he is.
Right.
He was an English Hellraiser, right?
Can't do that.
Can't do that because I think it was actually, it was like 86, 87 when the comic came out, and it was right around the Hellraiser, the movie came out. So they said, well, Hellblazer. Mm-hmm. And then apparently they didn't want to use that for the title for the movie because even Hellblazer sounds too much like Hellraiser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
What are our thoughts on the acting of Keanu Reeves? I'm curious.
Well, I mean, like anything, it's dependent on where that's directed, right?
Right. But if you had to average it, like,
I think I've been on record on the show before saying I think it's not good. And I think he's mostly not good.
I agree that he's mostly not good.
I think he gets by on having a fan base that just thinks he's the most charming man in the world. And that's, he coasts on that for his whole career.
I think
career.
So too,
it's
but I
wild.
Also don't know what, like, I think maybe we have to go back to figure out why do they think he's that way.
I don't get it.
I think he works in speed.
There are a few things he does work in. Speed, great.
Speed, he works.
Well,
he works.
Bill and Ted. So, I mean, I remember thinking that he was,
How far can you coast on Bill and Ted?
Yeah. Even if you look at...
I'm not charmed by Bill and Ted as a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm. No, but it was it was kind of endearing, I guess. He was the kind of stoner,
goofball. I get it.
And
yeah.
Even if you look at, like, Point Break, he's still kind of doing that.
Yeah.
Sure, but that,
it's like
even
a
then...
Point Break was like his transition.
But
how do you, keep going off of that shit?
Yeah.
You gotta have people that
I feel like he turns in the same performance for everything, no matter what the role
is. That's what it feels like to me.
Like, to me, that's the opposite of a good actor.
Right. I got nothing against the guy, but I think it's that. He feels very similar every time I see him on screen.
Mm-hmm. You're telling me he doesn't have range? The man who played...
I'll tell you, he does not have range.
The man who played Little Buddha?
Yeah, that movie. That's a movie that should be forgotten.
What was that for?
Exactly. Well,
just look up the poster real quick and tell
Buddha?
Me. Yes.
Little Buddha.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, look up the poster. Reeves had a period of time where I think he was trying to stretch out, you know, and didn't want to be Bill and Ted. Or Bill, he was Ted?
I've never seen those movies.
He's Ted.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ted Theodore.
He should be Bill.
Okay.
Theodore Logan. And Bill S. Preston Esquire. Come on.
But yeah, there's a really good movie they did back then, The River's Edge. You know, doofus, you know, but it's serious.
Yeah.
Then Speed, I think, was probably the movie that gave him
he did
like
those like romance movies, like
the Lake House,
Lake House, Walk in the Clouds. He did those
which same kind of performance turned in those movies.
What the fuck is that?
That is Little Buddha.
That is Little Buddha. That is Keanu Reeves in brown face. Yeah, playing. An Indian individual?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I do have mad props for him, though, for refusing to do a Marvel movie, but agreed to do 3 SpongeBob movies.
I thought he was doing Moon Knight, and then it turned out that...
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac was. Yeah. But I remember hearing in the trades that, you know... And they were always talking about doing another sequel to Constantine.
Yeah.
This movie, what we say, between 70 and 100 and made like 230 or something like that. So I never quite made it. Seems like we're talking about the end of it. What's the movie about? What's happening in Constantine? What's the dramatic engine that gets this going? And I will tell you that it is a loose adaptation of a storyline from some of the Hellblazer comics. So they did go to that source. Yeah.
John Constantine is an exorcist. Who comes in for extreme situations. At least that's how we're introduced to him. What is the beginning? A young girl gets possessed by a demon. And a very, I thought it was a very cool scene, a shocking scene. The mother's making like tea, coffee.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to bring it into the room. She opens the door a little bit. And she's like, ah! And then you just see her like through the crack of the door crawling on the wall.
That was
very
cool.
Good.
Yeah.
I liked it. Very cool introduction.
Very exorcist.
Yes.
You know, or just accustomed seeing demons for some reason defying gravity and climbing around.
Yeah, it's always exorcist. I mean, because they did it.
And then they got things coming out of their stomach.
Honestly, there's a few parts in this that I'm like, you know, that's better than our... than I thought it was going to be. Because I haven't seen this in a really long time. I've seen this.
Are you saying, so let me pin you down on that. Are you saying the idea was clever or the execution, the budget, they had the money to do it and it was like, well, that's better than I thought it would be.
Five. I'm surprisingly not offended at all by any of like the CGI, any of like it all worked.
Like there's
movie.
Parts when I'm like, oh, that's dated, but it's not offensive.
No, but it's also like it works still. Like they go to anything will be dated, but they go to hell. There's a lot of it feels very music video-y. I mean, based on the director and everything.
It does, especially for the time.
Right.
But this is this, well, I mean, speaking specifically about its interpretation of hell, what do we see?
It's effective.
I think so.
What is it?
The nuclear wasteland.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like in the center of a nuclear blast.
It's
forever. Right. Wind, heat, yeah. Radiation,
but
all that.
But like all of the souls are damned like underground.
Yeah.
From that,
yeah, hell's
hellscape.
Hell.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe it's they like can't survive on the surface for too long or something. Is that what it is? Because the nuclear winds are.
It's like the Terminator.
But they're all just like crawling on top of
crabs
each other.
In a bucket. Yeah,
yeah, and yeah. It's horrifying.
And we get the little literal crab later.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the Terminator nuclear blast, but forever.
Yeah,
basically.
But it's also, and I think. Stranger Things kind of did something similar later with the Upside Down. It's the idea that hell is overlaid on the earth.
Right.
You know, it's not like exists. A different, you know, place that you go to. It's like,
it's not like a dungeon and catacombs and shit like that. No, it's just what we're used to.
Everything is it's all planes. It's all dimensions and planes.
Yeah. So the building that we're in right now exists in hell.
Yeah.
Just the burned out version of it. And so theoretically.
Is there hell us down there doing a hell podcast right now?
Yeah, probably. Or there's also the heaven version we don't get to see in the movie, I would assume exists in the same place where they all share the same, like.
Are we like number one on all the charts in the heaven pod?
Are we the heaven pod?
If
the listeners will never know.
That's what we're out to do. We're setting out to do that, especially with tonight's show. We want to be on all three of them.
Dear Braille, you can hear the demon winds.
there's a lot of demon wind in this one.
A lot of demon wind.
Yeah.
I like it. I like how the demons are in their natural form, basically headless, half a head.
Yeah, it's a cool look.
From the nose from the nose up is pretty much gone. It's a good look, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that just to say that, I mean, he says they're soldier demons, but that gives them like an ant-like or insect kind of idea that they're brainless.
Yeah. They're drones. They're just kind of working.
It's like a literal interpretation. They're brainless. They're just ants. They're just...
How do you get to hell?
A couple ways.
How? I didn't fully understand this.
How do you get to hell? That's a great question.
Practice. That's a joke.
You got to put your feet in a bucket of water.
It's like, for what reason?
Cats will get you to hell.
Cats
are the portal to hell.
I love that.
Yeah. You can kill yourself.
Okay.
That's a way to go.
Numero uno, top of the list right there.
That's a way to go.
Well,
you can stare into a cat's eyes with your feet in a bucket.
Not gonna lie, trying this later.
Did I miss something here? Did they explain why you have to hold a cat?
All he did was when she had a cat, he's like, cats are good. They're half in, half out anyway.
What was his plan? What was his plan if she didn't have a cat? He seemed surprised that she had one. He's like, oh, this will work.
Then he's probably
more so what he did later.
Yeah. Then you got to electrocute. Then you actually have to die. But with a cat, somehow just staring at a cat's face, you can will yourself into hell.
I just want to confirm because I have the exact same cat as in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to
try it tonight?
I frequently stare into his eyes. And
don't do it too long.
With your feet in a bucket?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes.
Because water lubricates the transition, as we're told in the movie. So
Do you ever...
like, that means something.
Do you ever wake up with Jay staring at you near a bucket that he's brought into the room? Has this ever happened? Is he trying to take you to hell, is what I'm asking.
Well, he tries to take me to hell daily. Yeah. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I think I'm just in hell all the time. I think I've never left.
I mean, you are underground right now, so...
So, take it back. I can confirm this is true.
What do you see right now?
Okay, but theologically then, right? I have a question with something. Should I even be questioning this in this movie? Who knows?
Yeah.
Rachel Weisz is in this movie. Rachel Weisz. And she plays a police detective whose twin sister has committed suicide at the beginning of the movie and kind of sets the B plot in motion. At some point, she wants to go to hell, I think, to see if her sister is there.
Yeah.
And so Constantine drowns her in a bathtub.
Truly.
And she goes to hell. Now, why did she go to hell?
He says
I'm looking
words.
At
don't
Holly.
Know.
Yeah.
Holly's our hell expert.
Is it because I've been in chicken wire hell?
Yeah, because you've been in chicken wire hell.
It's the major reason why we're asking.
So she wasn't going to heaven, I guess, by the, you know. Like,
yeah, I was very confused by this part. Okay. I was like,
did he say anything when he was doing this?
Is no.
it because Constantine himself did it? Like, he has that special pitch?
No, he's just like, you want to check it out? I can help you out with that. And he drowns her in a bathtub.
There is really nothing else to it, is there?
No.
I mean,
she dies. She goes to hell.
But like for, but not in a way where she's got to be brought back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It is. It's like that thin. It's that thin boundary. That couple seconds where you're still alive, but you get there.
Is
you
know it because what I mean? I mean, earlier in the movie, she says that she's shot people on the job. Is it because she's killed people?
Mm.
Oh,
yeah, but they were all bad.
Is that in the Bible? That if you're a cop, you can kill people,
right? Doesn't mean it's justified. Just yeah,
well, they do
someone.
An eye for an eye.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
No, that's not in the Bible, is it?
No, turn the other cheek.
Yeah. Okay.
Just saying.
Maybe. Who knows? So
they mentioned it earlier, and I was like, it didn't really come back. Then when they mentioned that earlier in the movie, so I'm like, maybe that was the implication that like, oh, she's killed people, so that's why she goes to hell.
I don't know if they're justified or not.
The Bible doesn't say anything about killing is justified murder.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're fine. Like nobody just shrugs that one off.
There's no like Romans 3:18 says if you're a cop, it's fine. Yeah. Like that's not.
There's gotta be something.
Some people would argue that
people are put to death.
Something
right in the. We got to brush up on our.
I'm sure people that actually know the Bible are just like punching their steering wheel right now, listening to us.
There's got
to
be something in there about along.
I don't think they put loopholes in the Bible. I think that's kind of defeats the point.
God's killing people all the time.
I think you're very wrong.
But not for the plebs like us. I don't think the loopholes apply to us.
No. Somebody in power or something.
The loopholes are more for like beating your slave and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. There you go.
So,
so don't come at me.
Speaking of the Bible and the greater philosophical implications, the movie actually starts out with a scene in which, well, we're told at the beginning that the Spear of Destiny has been lost during World War II. I didn't know that the Nazis found it. I don't know. Whatever. Who knows? Did they? I don't know this. I know Hitler was after occult objects because I saw Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. So... the Spear of Destiny is the spear that pierced Christ's side while he was on the cross and killed him. Correct. And still has a little bit of his blood on it.
Yes.
And this Mexican guy it says it's in Mexico.
It says it's Mexico, yeah.
He finds it and becomes possessed by presumably a demonic force.
Yeah.
And starts walking his way to Los Angeles. And this is actually what's going on in the movie.
Yeah.
We're waiting for him to get to Los Angeles because when he gets there, oh shit, it's gonna go down.
Yeah, and I like that this is a prominent part of the story, but he's just the scavenger.
Yeah.
Like he's
in the credits?
Yeah.
Scavenger. Yeah.
Yeah.
So because we see like as he crosses the border fence, like all the cows just drop dead in front of him. You know, he has power. He gets hit by a car.
Demolishes
the car.
You wonder why. Like what is is there just evil in this spear? Is there, I mean, I know it killed Christ, so there's, you know, something to that, but
well, I was trying to figure this out.
That about sums it up.
Right. So because it killed Christ, it is looked at as an evil artifact.
It's like got super super evil.
I don't know, but I know in the movie they think that is that within religion, how is it viewed? I wonder.
I mean, there's no supernatural element talked about with the spear in the Bible,
right?
I believe this also comes into effect Immaculate, the new Sydney Sweeney.
Immaculate stole a few things from this movie, like straight up stole.
I'm hoping it's the cross gun that shoots dragon.
No,
fire.
But
damn,
the idea that there is blood on a spear belonging to somebody that plays into Immaculate.
Sure.
There was a girl named Isabel that jumped off a roof to kill herself and Immaculate, and it was the center of a bigger conspiracy. And I was like, wow, this movie literally same character doing the same thing. I was like.
Okay.
I mean,
the guy who wrote Immaculate's a big fan of this movie.
Wow. Doing some rides,
or that's a story in there somewhere where this is.
Well, the Spirit of Destiny is like that is an actual.
Oh yeah, I'm
right, but curious. The way it's used in both of these movies is
right.
Similar.
I'm always curious about that because I'm sure they've made a couple documentaries about what people who have claimed to have found it between that and the Shroud.
The artifact itself has been lore for.
Yeah.
Did Richard Stanley go looking for that at one point?
I think
maybe he went looking for
the Spear, the Holy Grail, the Shroud, all the nails, like they. they think that they may have found the nails.
Yeah, okay, so the nails are like a character in Immaculate. They're really important.
Okay, you keep talking about it. I have to see this.
I was like, now I want to watch
it. I think it's worth a watch. It did some things I hadn't seen before. Okay. It's not good, but it did some...
But it sounds interesting, which doesn't need to be good as long as it's interesting.
It is. It will provoke discussion. Yes. For sure. So Constantine as a supernatural private eye is kind of how he feels, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Has a team of, he has a team, right? Of other people. There's always these illusions that, like, in the past you were the John Constantine and we used to do things that shook the pillars of heaven, you know, kind of amongst his cronies. He's got Shia LaBeouf.
So, which serves movie. What purpose?
That kid did not need to be in this movie.
No. He's gone for long stretches of the movie.
Yeah. He's Chaz Kramer. I'm not sure if he's comic accurate. He might be a character in the comics, but he's basically a taxi driver who is an apprentice and is learning under the tutelage of John Constantine.
They literally win because they have like one scene together this whole movie. Like
they literally make note that he's his Robin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Yeah. And this is
and what happens to Robin?
Yeah. Nothing good.
Well, I mean, Joker. He eventually dies.
There's Beeman, I think his name was.
Beeman, yep.
Who is the quartermaster, right? He's the Q for Constantine's James Bond. He's
that's exactly how I was going to put it. Yep.
What? Because there's that scene where he's like, okay, I have all this stuff. You remember what the stuff? Because
holy water in those little breakable balls in case he needed them. He had brought him cigarettes. Don't laugh at breakable balls.
they're all breakable.
They're all breakable. It's very true. He had the holy water. He brought him a pack of cigarettes because he was out, or a carton of cigarettes because he was out. He brought him dragon fire in the very shootable.
Dragon's breath.
Dragon's breath. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
In a little gun thing.
Thought you couldn't get it anymore.
See, I like that though. That kind of like allusion to.
Oh, no, I like that
a
too.
Bigger occult world.
Yeah.
They do a lot in this movie, and that is part of, I guess.
Oh no, that's what makes everything interesting along the way.
Yeah,
because there's allusions to the grander stuff.
Yeah, and that's the shit I love. I like this like apothecary of like supernatural religious things. Like I think that's cool.
Right, and it leads. I mean, you kind of get a little gear up scene later on with stuff like that.
Yeah,
it just that's the fun stuff.
He's got the screech beetles from Amityville.
The screech beetle. I love that. He's like, to you, it's fun, but to the dead, it's nails on a chalkboard.
They literally just shake it.
Right, and that's what he does. He's like.
Yeah. Who else is in his Father Hennessy? Pruitt Taylor Vince.
Yeah.
Is that his name? I never remember that actor's name.
You don't remember the great.
I remember it from Identity.
Pruitt Taylor Vince, who we are inducting onto the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame.
What?
MF Mad, the keeper of the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame, wants to remind us that. Did we not do Identity?
We have not done Identity.
Okay. We did do The Cell. And he was in The Cell, and he was also in Drive Angry.
Awesome. Wonderful.
But Pruitt Taylor Vince, he's like in a ton of stuff.
He's in a lot of stuff,
Shit, are we doing Identity next week? No.
Yeah, he's got a thing with his eyes. Yeah. I think that also kind of like, I don't remember what that condition is called, but they, you know, move back and forth a little bit. And he has a very distinct look.
He does.
We are also inducting Tilda Swinton into Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame.
Love Tilda Swinton.
You know why?
No.
The beach.
The beach.
Okay. We did the beach. Okay. We did Constantine, and we did the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, that's right. I always forget that.
That's a wild card. Always.
I always forget that.
We're gonna get Willem Dafoe into this wall because of that movie.
Yeah.
And the other one will be Antichrist, like the two opposite ends of his career.
Father Hennessy, he's a priest, but he also seems to have some kind of supernatural ability.
Yeah.
He's like a seer. He can read. People, things.
Yeah, he can, if he allows it to happen, he can hear things, see things, find things. But apparently, it's a lot for him because he wears an amulet that kind of drowns out the voices that he hears all the time.
Right. And so then there's also, I guess, like Papa Midnight.
Yep.
And that's Jimon Hansu.
Right.
And
love him.
Always a welcome presence.
Yeah,
in the
movie. Always good. I love him.
Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, hey. When I see him,
there you are. Yeah, I love that guy.
Hello, old friend.
He was one of the best parts of Quiet Place Part 2.
He was.
Yeah.
I think he's in the new one.
He is in Day 1, right?
Why are we still?
We don't need to be doing.
You know who? Okay. I'm sorry. I have a problem with Day 1 because do you know who's directing that movie?
No.
The guy who wrote and directed Pig.
Oh,
one of the best movies of the past decade, and this is the, where it launches him to a fucking Quiet Place sequel.
It could be real good.
Oh, my, but I want original content from this guy because I've seen what he can write and direct on his own.
Pig was incredible.
Yeah, and this is a step backwards, I feel like.
Yeah,
it's a guarantee that people will see his next thing, I suppose. But
it's not, though. It's not.
I don't need another.
I know. I'm like, I'm not.
I loved the first one. The second one was okay. Right. I don't need it anymore. Yeah. Right. Don't need anymore.
I don't know. Pig being a first movie, and this is, feels like a step down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But well, we mourn his career.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
It unless nice it actually takes off.
But I mean, it's a step somewhere, which could lead to something else he really wants to do.
But look at all these times with these major franchises, they've plucked some promising indie director that's done one movie and then give them a major franchise, and it usually shits the bed. Mm-hmm. Colin Trevorrow, just looking at you. Josh Trank, looking at you.
Who's going to save Hollywood? Someone needs to step up and fucking save Hollywood. Who's going to do it? Someone needs to.
John Constantine, asshole.
Fucking hell. Someone maybe needs to.
Maybe John Constantine will come back. There's still a chance. Guillermo del Toro was going to do Justice League Dark, which would have had both Swamp Thing and John Constantine.
I don't need that. Yeah. I don't. That's not what I want.
Papa Midnight, the character. Yeah. I like this thing. Like you have to.
He was like a witch doctor.
Yeah. He's voodoo or something like that. Yeah, cool. And he runs a club, but the club is like where.
Switzerland, right? Or Sweden?
Like, yeah.
Neutral?
In the.
It's like the supernatural neutral zone.
Yeah. There's a balance between heaven and hell, right? They can influence people, but they can't actually interact with them directly. Although apparently demons can possess people, but whatever.
Right.
Just influence.
And so at this bar they can commingle, and we can tell like the angels, because they have like a white light in their eyes, and the demons have a red light, or they're like half breeds or something, whatever.
That's what he calls them.
Not entirely clear. So there's like half breeds, or sorry, demons and angels like kind of hooking up in the bar.
Oh, half breeds.
You asked about Michelle Monaghan.
I did. Where was... Okay, why does she show up for 2 seconds? And what more of her part was cut out of this movie?
Two scenes, because she is a half-breed demon that Constantine is sleeping with.
There it is. Oh, okay.
I don't remember in the comic, and like this one I actually remember, he had like this girlfriend who had like a tail, you know, in bed. Wow. You know, he's sitting there with the cigarette, and there's this girl with a tail. And I think, I don't know if they actually did that in scenes. I'm sure that there's deleted scenes on the disc that I watched years ago, but so she was cut from the movie, but she's in prominently at the very end of the movie. They show her and you're like, hey,
Sean, you're like, what's Michelle Monaghan doing?
Right. Yeah. The cast also includes, supernatural, these half breed characters or angels and demons. Mm-hmm. Tilda Swinton, as we mentioned, is, Gabriel.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Gavin Rossdale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lead singer of Bush.
Is not in this movie.
That's right.
No, he's not great. So you're talking about Keanu Reeves. He's bad.
But Gavin Rossdale didn't have an acting career. It didn't work.
I know,
That's the difference. Like,
no, he didn't really. I don't know.
If nothing else, like that hand movement or whatever he did at the beginning of this really sunk him for me in this movie. I was like, oh, that's off-putting. Yeah,
finger looking good.
Yeah, like, that's not good.
Yeah, but also that was not his, that wasn't him. That's the writing.
I mean, like, that's true.
He was directed. Maybe I can do this. Like, yeah.
I don't think he made a choice in that moment.
He is Balthazar. He's a demon. So the plot of this movie kind of pits these two factions against each other because
there's a wager between God and the devil.
Yeah.
Who can get more souls.
Yeah, right.
If you've ever watched Horror Express, which, you know this.
Wasn't prophecy kind of that too?
Yeah, prophecy
hasn't
was
always been the
they
thing?
Were,
it's
they
always
were
the
claiming
same thing.
The souls. Okay,
they're and they're trying.
Well, I don't
to
know
find...
this stuff, so I don't know what's in what's movie and what's religion.
There's always been that. Maybe the old joke is just like the bet between God and the devil about the constant fight, who's going to win, what you can do with people, and all that.
Yeah,
that's how I've always remembered it.
They played chess on a cosmic train, if
in,
I remember
space.
Correctly. Yeah. In space. In space, yeah.
That's the metaphor I like. Give me that one.
So
that's one we've seen so far.
Constantine's so there's an investigation, right? Constantine meets up with Rachel Weisz's character and is trying to solve. She's like, my sister didn't kill herself, And all evidence seems to point to, yes, she did. Yep. And she is in hell. And so, but it's because she, like John Constantine, used to see visions of the afterlife when she was a kid, and it drove her crazy.
Yep.
And so this means that she is some kind of psychic medium. Mm-hmm. And her twin sister also has this. There's also another subplot. Man, this is a complicated movie. John Constantine committed suicide as a child because he saw all of this stuff, but was brought back to life. And so now he has spent his entire life trying to buy his way into heaven by deporting all the demon souls back to hell, right?
I would like a counter on how many he has to do before he gets his ticket.
I know. He's just like, how many? Well, he does say.
He's just like, and someone's like, never. It's just like, it's not going to happen. Or at least that's what he's being told.
That's what Gabriel tells him.
That's what Gabriel
but
tells
he's
him.
Like, imagine going to a prison where 50% of the people are souls you put there. I'm like, yeah. Jesus, he's been
working.
Active. he also has cancer.
He does.
He's got lung cancer.
What's smoked since he was the 15? Point of this? Giving this trait to this character just to be like, he doesn't give a fuck anymore.
It adds that, yeah. Okay. And it also has that they figured out an ending, I think, mm-hmm. based on mm-hmm. that. It's like, so your character's terminally ill going into the movie. Mm-hmm. How is he going to, you know, save himself by the end of it?
Or is he going to?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Will he? What effect will this
like
have?
He's on his way out. What's he going to do?
Yeah. Does that change him once he learns that? Like, is he, you know, more apt to just throw caution to the wind and.
Does he sacrifice?
He has an attitude that's very assholish and rude, mm-hmm. I suppose.
It's like he knows all this stuff exists, but he's not. He still is not what God wants him to be. He doesn't believe, or there's no.
The
interesting thing about this character is that he's very self-serving. Like, he doesn't give a shit about man or earth. He just wants to get his way into heaven.
It's what
I would argue he is up until the very end still. But a loophole gets him out of it. But
it's what I call Dr. House syndrome. It's it's I'm so good at one specific thing, I don't have to be nice. I'm so good at this one thing and so valuable for this one thing I know how to do. I can be an asshole. Yeah, exactly.
It's only me. Yep. So you got to deal with it.
Yeah, everywhere during this time in media.
People like that.
Yeah. Yep. Although he doesn't seem to have like the backing of the Catholic Church. It's always the Catholics, but because of the rituals and all that stuff. But I mean, he doesn't seem to have the legitimate backing of the church. Although he does get into a church at one point because that's where Gabriel hangs out.
Yeah.
Talking with the priest, right?
Like, they all know he's on their side, but he's like a rogue agent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's his mission in the movie, is basically to, he's dying. He wants to go to heaven because he doesn't want to go to hell again. And she wants to somehow figure out what happened to her sister.
Yep. And it's all leading to them figuring out that the balance is breaking down.
Yeah. So what's going on? I guess
demons are showing up on Earth, full fledged demons when they shouldn't be.
They're breaking the rules.
Yeah.
Yep. And why are they breaking the rules? I guess we're zeroing toward the end. What's actually happening in this movie? Why do we need Rachel Weisz? Why do the forces of evil need Rachel Weisz?
They're actually bringing forth the son of the devil.
She needs to birth the son of the devil.
Mm-hmm. Only we're not going to do like a pregnancy birth.
No, that's end of
days. Just inhabit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how are they going to pull this off? Because there's a bunch of lore reading. We have to go and figure this out course of the movie.
Yeah. You need the psychic or seer, whatever you want to call her, which is Rachel Weisz.
Right. Okay. It was her sister, but her sister killed herself. So now it is.
Now we got the twins.
Yeah.
So they have the same power, and we need the blood of Christ.
Which is on the Spear of Destiny, which is making its way to Los Angeles.
Yep. Slowly but surely.
And so this leads to a bunch of confrontations. Some of them are in the large budget range. There's demon attacks on the street in the dark. There's multiple trips to hell. Mm-hmm. There's battles with people who are made, like street people who are made out of insects.
Yeah, that was gross. That was, and it didn't look good.
No, that was the most transformery looking thing. Like, yeah, that was the worst this movie looked. Was that attack?
It would have been made better had the thing asking him for a light was actually a crab.
That would have been
so much better.
And if nothing else, just for a shot where Constantine looks down at it and this is like, was it did you talk to me? And then gets attacked.
And then
like for
attacking.
A second,
yeah,
a split we see
second.
The crab. He's like, what?
That's what I.
But why is this thing random bugs and crabs? What is this?
Like, those are all like Prince of Darkness. Locust, it's just like, the lower.
Yeah, but
lower
are crabs
beings.
Involved in that? Crabs are not one of the plagues, right? Where do crabs fit into this?
I don't think you're right.
They're
I think
bottom
you're
right. Dwellers.
Okay,
yeah, they're just bottom dwellers.
And I suppose if you're in Los Angeles, there's beaches it, nearby, like, and you're yeah. used you know. To seeing. Crabs?
You know, though, crabs are smarter than people give them credit for.
Oh, my God. I've seen that video of it grabbing the knife. I don't trust them.
I'll agree with that, but I still think they're influenceable.
I watched a video the other day of a woman that had a pet crab, and she put little hats on it, and it, like, interacted with her and knew sign language.
There are.
I don't like that. That makes me uncomfortable.
If you go on Instagram, there are really smart crabs.
There are really smart crabs.
There are. It's like they're reacting. Yeah. Like, man, you... And, you watch a video on Instagram, you put a lot into it, and I'm like, oh, it's doing this for whatever. There's some fucking smart crabs out there.
It's the weirdest thing.
It's weird.
Are they new sign language. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, we're here to bring you crab Instagram, folks. Look into it.
It's bananas.
Maybe it's a sign of the end times. We don't know.
It could be.
It's bananas.
You guys get crab videos. I fucked up my algorithm really bad. I don't know what I did.
I'll try and send you as many crab videos as I can.
I need to counterbalance it. Yeah. I get this account all the time called Look at My Lizard, and it's...
Michaela, be careful.
It's literally
wait a second.
It's this guy that has like 50 exotic lizards, and today he'll be like, Sonny's enjoying his tree, and just like a picture of a lizard. But every day it's like a different one because this guy has like a whole fucking zoo in his house. It's wild. And he'll be
love
like it. Scrubbing iguanas on the head like a dog and
oh, yeah.
stuff. It's
oh, yeah. and
crazy.
Then pulling out like their shedding
yeah,
skin from their
yeah.
eyeballs
yeah, yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lizards lead an interesting
but they all
life.
Look,
Colin's
they act like
you
little
are
dogs.
All weird.
Yeah.
This is, no, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
yeah.
exists, Colin. It's
yeah.
out there.
Oh, yeah.
We get a lot of animal videos.
Oh, yeah. a lot of animal
yeah.
videos.
Look at my lizard. Check out.
Yeah, we love some yeah. Anything with cute eyes, put it on yeah. my algorithm. Melt your heart.
Weird.
All right, back
weird.
To John, the demon possession John Constantine movie.
Crabs. Go ahead.
Crab.
Yeah, there's a fight with the crab. What else happens?
Fight with the crab.
Eventually,
Him and Rachel Weisz end up in the street where they get attacked by demons. This is where he lights his hand on
yeah,
fire.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is, I thought was a really cool scene. I liked it. I liked the light that was.
It was
kind of
cool, but like, what did I don't know?
No
like,
purpose. Just so she would see that demons.
Yeah, exist. I think there were a lot of scenes that I was kind of like, wow, because they have a budget, they're doing stuff that you wouldn't like. You could convey this with a you know with a smaller scene.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene where she gets pulled through like a bunch of offices in a skyscraper
oh, yeah.
and out
yeah,
into
once they
the
figure out that she's the one they're going after because she
yeah
shares
it was like
that.
How much did they spend on this you know just yeah. to pull this you know and you're like did you really need that you know
look
I got
good.
That a lot that there was a lot of money spent and I guess this is back in the time when Hollywood wouldn't spend a shitload of money on
right.
on these things now they don't know that now they now that
we're now talking. We have no now yeah. we have animated fight scenes
yeah, yeah.
In
now
Amazon
everything's
movies.
On a green screen I mean yeah, there's a lot of green screen in this I suppose
right
but
still I mean like he was in an office building for you know that part she got pulled through some sets and there's a lot of green screen but still
yeah
and it looked I thought it looked pretty good
it looked fine
looked
yeah.
good
it, I don't yeah, know I mean not, I guess
the money was spent in the right areas I think
yeah, because there's a lot of, even in the end, I mean, they do enlist Chaz eventually comes into his own. I know he like disappears from the movie for
yes,
a while.
He does.
This is the Shia LaBeouf character. He's the comic relief because I was thinking about that. Like, none
supposed
of the other jokes really
yeah.
like did much at no. all. There was that yeah. joke about the $200 shirt, you know, they ruined. I'm like, it felt like a joke that fell flat.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Like,
LaBeouf,
like it shouldn't have been at that part.
Yeah, but LaBeouf is genuinely like funny, and then he uses that kind of energy in Transformers. What two
yeah.
years later? I mean, that was the thing.
Yeah, he can be a genuinely funny person.
And that's how he started
actor.
Out. Yeah,
yeah,
that's what even Stevens was a kid's
right,
comedy.
Yeah,
yeah.
But mm-hmm. like, go watch like the Peanut Butter Falcon. He's really good in that.
Yeah,
I do
so
really like that movie.
That's a really good movie, and yeah. he's despite you know what you may think of him and everything, he's done some really good stuff, and he can be a really good actor.
So our heroine has been abducted by the forces of evil.
Yep.
Balthazar, that's Gavin Rossdale, has been banished in a one-on-one with John Constantine because he's facilitated this on the at the behalf of, it turns out, because I love that you know, I'm going to bring you into the light. I command you. Well, he has to force the tattoos on his arm together. And it's like taking a great amount of force to do it. And when he does, like, the world changes and he actually brings Gabriel.
Nothing happens when I do that.
I know. You got to imagine.
What do you got there?
Nothing happens.
You got it because you haven't said, into the light I command you. You have to do that.
I do like
What am I going to summon with a teacup?
We'll find out.
I was wondering. Flowers in a teacup?
Flowers in a teacup.
You're going to summon cats.
I'm going to summon an old British woman.
You're going to summon a casual time.
I'm going to summon a tea party with a British woman.
Well, maybe that's
the
thing.
Summon tea at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
But maybe it does have to be, you know, you got to put your fists together.
Yeah, you got
to
do it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, your tattoos are on the wrong. That's why it doesn't work, Holly.
Because it faces me.
You're doing it to yourself. You're like, tea time.
I mean, yeah.
There you go.
You just turned into an old British woman.
It works for you, but nothing else.
So
we go over to Holly's house. She's Mrs. Doubtfire. Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh no, what happened?
I do love a tea party.
Satan's kid is named Mammon. Mammon. And so he needs the aid of Gabriel, right? Because you need the assistance of God.
Needs the aid of someone. Gabriel is just the one who's just like, I'll do it.
Yeah, because Gabriel is basically, I like that speech. She's like, you know, men or, you know, humankind are the only creatures on all of the universes, galaxies or whatever that, like, you can fuck up and basically ask for forgiveness. You can go to heaven.
Right.
No other creature has
a
that.
Good speech.
Yeah.
It was nobody else. Good. But man, and it's Tilda Swinton, so she delivers it well.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's why you have her in there for stuff like this. She makes that stuff believable.
Yeah.
In a movie where we're, you know, we have big cross guns with gold bullets shooting. She makes it believable, which is nice.
Yeah.
She grounds it a little bit.
And so Rachel Weisz is there and she's about to, like,
this, she is possessed. Thing is,
yeah. Possessed by.
She's gone to hell and has been possessed by the
Satan's
son demon. Yes.
And he's going to come out through her stomach. Yep. And Tilda Swinton is going to use the Spear of Destiny to stab her in the stomach, and that will release Mammon into the world, because she says, I'm going to make you earn God's love by basically making you suffer, because that's when you're at your, you can be noble when you suffer.
Right.
Those of you who survive.
Yeah, those who survive this whole ordeal, you will have definitely earned God's love, and then you can come up.
But this is something that neither God nor the devil actually want, it turns out. So,
and at this point, don't know about.
Yep.
Really.
And Constantine then make, because he's been, you know, blown out to, Chaz is killed. Constantine's blown into another room. And as he sits there trying to figure out what he's going to do, there's, he asks for God to help him.
He asks for help, yeah.
He does, yeah.
And nothing happens.
God's like, nah.
Because he, you know, he's being not on good standing.
He has been forsaken?
Yeah. And so he kills himself again.
He does.
by slicing his wrists. And we have been told earlier in the movie, I like that there was all setups and payoffs for a lot of stuff, but apparently Constantine's soul is the only one that Satan would come to Earth himself to collect. Mm-hmm. And so then,
that is a great line to establish, like, to establish a character or to give some backstory or some legend to a character. It's like, you know, Constantine, that's the only soul the devil would come to Earth to grab himself.
Yeah.
That's just a great mythology for a character.
Yeah.
Feel good.
That sets up a badass.
It does. Yeah.
It does.
And it sets up a devil who, I love this casting.
Yeah, this is pretty good. So it's Peter Stormare.
Yes.
I love it.
Plays the devil.
He came straight from the Russian space station.
He has a great, like, introduction, because it's like all this black shit falling off of his feet. Apparently he's,
like,
covered in...
For a second, I thought we found who was shitting in your garage.
Oh, I figured that out. That's a story for later.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, and he descends in the frame. He's wearing a white suit.
Of course he is.
And, I mean, they didn't really, there's no horns on him or anything.
No, but there doesn't need, like, horns would be too much. Like, you can't, these days, if you're going to personify the devil, putting the horns on him, come on. You got to have a little more subtlety than that, I would think. You only get the horns when there's a situation where they, like, freak out and go full devil.
Yeah.
But no, he's white suit. He's barefoot again with the tar on his feet, but he's got his eyes are red. His lips are a little red, like they're sore and everything. Like, it's a good makeup.
There's like neck tattoos peeking out.
Yeah. Just little hints of
no eyebrows.
The devil.
Yeah.
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 Cause that's terrifying no matter what.
So
it is jarring.
I mean, in the pantheon of devils, movie devils,
no Al Pacino. But who is?
Yeah.
So are we saying Al Pacino is the best? Because you guys don't remember the Witches of Eastwick and Jack Nicholson playing the devil.
Yeah.
Right? I don't remember that. No, I don't remember.
Okay.
It's pretty solid.
And we had Viggo Mortensen in the prophecy.
That was really good. That was a good one. See, I really
this
liked
one's
it.
Creepier.
And I said on the prophecy, I like the fucking Passion of the Christ devil.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
creepy
yeah.
as hell.
Oh, yeah.
It's creepy as
that's
hell.
A good devil.
That was a good one.
Let's not forget about, what was it, Tim Curry, who played
Legend. Yeah. He's darkness, though. Not necessarily the devil. Yeah.
You're right. I mean, this is the show Lucifer.
Well, isn't that just like a hot guy banging a bunch
devil.
Of people?
Basically, yes.
Right, for moms on like NBC or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That was
they He's did a an sexy episode devil, where they went to a nudist camp and he was naked and everything.
It's, did they really?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Have you watched this show?
I have watched so much of that show.
Why?
My kid loved it. He got into it.
I have questions.
It's like was it NBC, ABC? I think it was Fox.
It was a Fox show.
And he just kind of fell in love with it. And he's like, Dad, let's watch Lucifer. I'm like, okay. So I have watched the last like four seasons of that show.
Wow.
Kind of interesting.
I'm curious what appeal it has to a child, but okay.
Devil imagery, people getting killed.
Okay, okay.
You know, just the.
I thought it was just him doing horny stuff. I didn't.
I mean, there is that. There's definitely that. But there's also like there's battles of philosophy and stuff like that.
Okay.
They do go over a lot of that stuff.
So it's like supernatural, but he's
basically.
He's
but there are a lot of
more.
Characters.
Okay.
From. A lot of religious characters that come in and they kind of explore the aspects. I can't believe we're talking about Lucifer.
I had no idea you actually watched.
They explore a lot of story for these characters and their conflicts because they are on Earth and they fall in love with human people and they have to deal with those different aspects. Of and there's a lot of angels, so it's like I'm an angel,
this
but
is
I'm
literally
also
just
in love
supernatural.
With a human who's also having a baby, but also there's a fight for the life of humanity and everything. It gets interesting in certain parts. Not gonna lie, I got drawn in.
Wow.
You wouldn't think, but you really have to watch a few episodes to get like hooked into it.
Okay,
here's your recommendation for Lucifer.
Okay, so Lucifer versus Peter Stormare.
Oh, Peter Stormare.
Okay.
Oh, definitely. He's like he's top. He's up there for me. Like
he's pretty
good.
He's creepy.
It's very short and everything, but he's very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so this is the idea that like you know Lucifer doesn't know that his son is in the next room and about to do this thing behind his back, and so Lucifer becomes a hero and saves the day. I think he did in the prophecy also. The devil ends up saving the day,
but for his own reasons.
Yes, for his own reasons, but.
Which again, this is where we get to Constantine doing things, which I still feel like for his own reasons, because he does. Well,
Lucifer is like basically like, okay, what do you want? You know, okay, I did this and you told me about it, so what do you want?
Yeah.
And Constantine's like, I want her sister to go to heaven.
Uh-huh. I like how he's like, okay, it's done.
Yep, and you're coming with me, right? Yep. So that's the selfless act, I guess, right? That he has. Done. He's training.
Yes,
he knows
he's
going to hell.
You can take my soul, but please send her.
Yeah,
out there. She doesn't deserve to be down there.
Good, well, good for him. Okay, and because of that, then God makes him a brick, and Lucifer can't.
But did Constantine know that this was going to happen?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah,
I think this was a selfless act. But
well, then he's about to float off to the
I do like he's
the,
yeah,
the nice version of Los
he's
Angeles,
dragging him away, and he just gets heavier and heavier and sinks into the ground.
And the light shines on him, and he gets to flip off the devil.
He does. He's like he's going to heaven. This is like the second movie in which Keanu Reeves is Christ-like, going up into and dies and everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he does. He gets to flip off the devil, which is great. One of those slow like, I'm going. It's real fun. And then the devil's like, nah, you're gonna live. And fucking reaches into his lungs and pulls out all the cancer, which comes in the form of like a tar and everything, which is what it would be. And he's like, no, you will live. Whoosh.
Yeah, because you're going to basically prove that you belong in hell. I'm going to give you a little more time.
Right. Now he's got the choice. Now it's up for grabs where he goes.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, you know, if you're not going to heaven or hell, it's the best opportunity he's going to get. So.
I know. So Constantine's a reborn man, and now he can...
clean slate.
Yep.
Clean slate, clean lungs.
He's not... there's a bunch of sexual tension between him and Rachel Weisz.
Yep. Always close to kissing, but he's always... it doesn't seem like he's interested. I mean, he is a little bit, but he's always reaching for something that's close by.
It's more like he knows she's interested.
Yeah.
And he would like her to, you know, like, come around every now and again.
Yeah. She's like, do I have to take all my clothes off to get in the tub to be drowned?
He thinks
like,
about it for too long.
Thinking about it. Yeah. So yeah, it's because he has missions, right? Although I don't know, really know what they are. He just basically says, I have, you know, things I have to clean up.
Yep.
And we're like, well, that's Constantine 2 and 3 and 4 and 5.
Well, what is our imagery that we are left with?
He switched from smoking.
He did. I do like how they reveal this, because they come up from behind him and he's hitting a pack of something.
Yeah.
As you would. Any smoker recognizes that movement. And then circles around him, and he pops a piece of gum in, and then we're done.
Yeah,
so it's like, maybe he has changed. We'll see. Constantine 2.
I don't remember what the final line was, but it was disappointing.
Yeah, whatever.
I was like, that's what you came up with?
Yeah, it was stupid. It was a bad line.
Yeah, the ending of Thomas Jane's
Punisher had a better VO line going for that.
Yeah,
but
I wanted something better.
No, the gum popping is the good part.
The gum was fine.
The line is not good. It's like voiceover it's Battle for Good and Evil. Some people don't like it.
Yeah,
some people don't like it. It's a bad line end on. Yeah, it wasn't a good line end on.
It was not a good line.
But it ended.
And that brought us to the end of Constantine, but we are going to review it. We're going to tell you whether you should watch it, if you haven't already. But first, we're going to read some of your mail. And in order to do that, we're going to have to summon our mailman. His name is Igor. Bring us the mail.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Why, thank you, Igor.
What's it like in hell, Igor? He's been there.
He does kind of look like the little, like, ant demons a little bit, you know?
A little bit, yeah. It's like we built on top of that.
We tried to re-sculpt the head.
Right,
yeah,
that's
you know?
It. Yeah, we're just like, we can put this little gum. It
just kind of slides like, off, yeah.
Just an eye slides off every now and again.
Hell spit him out.
Yeah.
Can he come apart at will?
He's still got the hell saliva on him. That is what is, now we've decided what leaks out of him. It's hell saliva. Hell spit.
Well, we should let the
pretty sure
we should let the good folks at home know how they can participate.
Hell spit. Yeah.
If you want to participate on this interactive portion of our show, you can follow along on Facebook.
Facebook.com/SaturdayNightFreakShow.
Or X.
At Sat Freak Show.
You can email us directly.
SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com.
Or you can follow along on Instagram or Threads at Saturday Night Freak Show. About tonight's movie, Constantine, Simon Carter writes in and says, I really enjoyed this movie. The design of the hellscape and the creatures was really cool. Keanu does a decent job, and the choice of Peter Stormare as Satan was a genius move.
Good move.
Mm-hmm. Michael Whitaker says, as a comic book fan, I'm enraged at the lack of comic accuracy, but goddamn if I didn't admit this was actually a pretty good movie in its own. In fact, it's because of this movie that I'm even a fan of the comic, which has become one of my favorite superheroes of all time.
There you go.
May I also recommend the Constantine TV series that came out. It's actually better than the movie and more comic accurate, and it shows you how horribly underused this character actually is. He's the gold standard when it comes to paranormal investigators. And before you question it, John Constantine is a card-carrying member of the Justice League. He is, in fact, a superhero. He knows Batman.
He knows Batman.
Nelson Nascimento agrees that the TV series was great.
Okay.
All right.
It went for like one season.
One season, that was canceled. Jacob Laws says, even though Keanu is not blonde or British like his comic counterpart, I think he does a good job as an American John Constantine. The visuals are great, especially during his trip to hell, and Peter Stormare with his shaved eyebrows makes for a scary Satan. I do think the plot is a bit dense with what Gabriel and Gwen Stefani's ex are plotting.
I forgot about that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Last week we watched a movie called Final Destination 2, and Brad Boucher writes in and says, I still feel nervous on the highway since I watched this movie in 2003.
Yeah, we all do. That's 21 years of fear.
Can't move on.
Nope.
Karate Warrior 2 says, movies like this legitimately scare me. This is because of the crash.
It's the real Final Destination stuff.
Tony Bradshaw says, the logging industry is still suffering from this, right?
Seriously.
Real decline after this movie.
Do you think they had boardroom meetings about being like, guys, this is bad.
All right,
we need to really
focus on our safety and our you know, make sure your loads are strapped down.
Make sure civilians see you touching those straps.
Brought up in some meeting. It's like, all right, we're going to show you a scene.
Yeah.
Somebody get the lights?
Yeah.
Mark Harrison says, oh, we were talking about Allie Larder in the movie is protecting herself from death by locking herself in a mental ward. Mm-hmm. But surrounding herself
I
with
really
the...
wish she would have got strangled by the red string. But
yeah. She has a red string board. Mark mm-hmm. Harrison says, to me, this is silly. She's not concerned about paper cuts.
You can
die. I mean, okay, the red string could fly off and a thumbtack hits you in the throat and
right.
boom.
Right.
Yeah. There is plenty in that room.
Yeah,
plenty.
That's true. Plenty. Great point, Mark Harrison.
And Mark also says, one of my ancestors died from an infected pop pimple. Is she confident she has enough proactive?
proactive. That took me back.
Who here used it? I did.
I did. Yeah.
I saw it melted
your face off.
I saw every infomercial, but
it just burned the skin off your face. That's
send us that story.
Oh, that's
if
fucking
that is
crazy.
Indeed true.
Oh my gosh,
that's terrifying. Now I have a new thing to be afraid of. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Travis Legler writes in and says, listening to you guys talk about movies from the 2000s was where almost every character is just an asshole for mm-hmm. no reason.
Yep.
Gave me flashbacks to seeing the Friday the 13th remake in theaters.
Yep.
The group of friends in the cold open, I could actually believe would hang out together and be friends. The second group, I didn't believe for a second these people would spend more than 30 seconds together. And I just wanted them dead. Yeah. I do miss good horror movies where you actually feel something when a character is taken away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that one's, for sure. Yeah, again, mm-hmm. having recently watched it within the past year, it's not.
Yeah, I think like the Friday the 13th movie is always like my example of like just people being like unlikable.
Yeah.
For no fucking reason. I always credited it to the writers, but it's probably because they were trying to make them better.
It's a
victims.
Moral choice. Yeah. Yeah, because you feel you're okay with them being killed. Yep. You're not delighting in innocent people getting killed. They deserved it. They were assholes. So
yeah, which is kind of yeah. The week before we watched a movie called Messiah of Evil. Lemora fan 73 because we talked
about we have like, a Lemora fan
said Radiance did a great job with the Messiah of Evil Blu-ray. It sucks so much that Synapse is holding the 4K scan of Lemora, the Child's Tale of the Supernatural, hostage and will never release it. We talked about
starring
comparison between those movies. Yeah, High Pike is in that movie. Well, thank you each of you for writing in. We really really appreciate it.
Yes,
thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you
for
very much
in. We encourage everybody else. You can write in.
Oh yeah, everybody write.
Yeah,
write something.
And now we're gonna go around the table and tell you what we thought of Constantine, starting with
Holly. What did you think about Constantine?
It's not a perfect movie. No. It's but I dug it. I don't know. Like it's one of those movies where I'm like I don't really have a lot to say. Like either way, like it's not a great movie, but I enjoyed it. But we all know that like the religious kind of movies are my jam anyway. I think they're fun.
Yeah. For one reason or another, to either hate it or to be like, oh
yeah, I think they're fun. I like the mysticism. I like the lore. I like all the artifacts and that kind of stuff. Keanu Reeves is not a great actor, but this is nothing new to us. We know this.
Yeah.
We know this.
Is that it? We all just accepted it? And
yeah.
Moved
like,
on?
We know. Why do we accept it, though?
He's not, like, a good, like, you don't believe him as John
Constantine?
There's
no Constantine? Emotion. Like, he doesn't.
He's never been lost in a role.
Yeah, he doesn't emote. Like, Neo is the same as John Constantine. Mm-hmm. It's no different. Like, he's just Keanu Reeves. I'm just watching Keanu Reeves.
Yep.
But I'm not, like, offended. I like Keanu Reeves as a person, so I'm not, like, offended by it. I like this movie. I think it's a fun movie. It's the effects are actually still pretty good considering it was 2005. We've come a long way. Mm-hmm. It's not offensively bad in any way. Like, there was a few moments like the bugs that we were talking about was not good.
Yeah.
But like the hell scenes were actually pretty effective and it's creepy. There was a few like jump scare moments and I'm like, yeah, that was pretty good and decent. I think it's enjoyable. I don't think it would be for everyone, but there's way worse you could watch. So I think most people wouldn't be offended by watching this. So I'm going to recommend. Michaela, what'd you think?
This has a lot of things working against it for me. It's the religious stuff, which I said on the prophecy episode, I feel like I have to do extra like mental work for these types of movies because I don't have enough knowledge about the religious like folklore to understand what's going to happen and what, why certain people are significant and things like that. So I feel like I need like a remedial version of these movies.
Right, you can get lost in it. Just like, can somebody give me a short chart so I can catch up?
The son of the devil's not a thing.
But I need like a, red string board to know who's important and why, and what their roles are. But and yeah, Keanu Reeves, I don't have ill will towards him. I just don't get it. And I like, he has plenty of movies I like, but this one, I just, it's hard for me to access this type of content, because it's a lot for me to buy into just to understand like the pieces we're playing with, you know?
It's like
you guys are all like chess champions and I'm like learning how to play chess in the same tournament, you know? Like wait, but I don't even understand how this game works, and you guys are all like experts.
But Michaela, that one can move diagonal.
Yeah, and I'm playing with checkers rules in a chess tournament, you know? But that's not really a comment on the movie. I do remember seeing trailers for this movie constantly on MTV. So my sister and I became like a household meme because there's that part in the trailer where she goes Constantine and she like whispers it, and they play that like three times in the trailer. So we would just walk around going like Constantine like around the house. I had no idea what this movie was about. I think I confused it with Legion for a long time because I was like, aren't these the same movie? But yeah, the religious like mythology horror is not really my thing, so I'm gonna pass on it. I do feel like you do see the money on the screen because this must have been really expensive CGI for the time. So I a 70, like that slow-mo scene where all the glass is going for how long?
Like 10 minutes?
It's pretty
really,
solid.
Yes. Really good.
That scene actually kind of still holds up. But like especially compared to like the bug demon thing. But it's just like, I love that some animators really got to go crazy on that shit. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, it's not for me. I didn't care for it. So I'm going to pass on it. Sean.
I think I agree with Holly on this one. But yeah, I had a good time with this. Again, I was really surprised by it considering it came out in 2005. They spent the money in the right places because I think the effects are still like, effects still work for me. They work for the story. Let's put it that way. If they may seem a little dated, but I think they work within the story. Keanu Reeves is not great, but he's Keanu Reeves. Again, I think we've all just accepted that. But yeah, I again like the kind of the story being of religion, the artifacts. There's some very interesting stuff. It brought up a lot of questions that we talked about tonight. There's some fun stuff in this movie. Who doesn't want to see Gavin Rossdale get beat up with brass knuckles that have crosses on them.
Religious brass knuckles.
Come on. I think if that wasn't
symbolic for the Catholic Church and the papacy, like I don't know what is.
Right. It's not a movie I'm going to go back to a lot, but you know, it's been probably 10 years since I've seen it. A refresher after 10 years, it's like still good. I'd still recommend it. You guys watch it. I think there's a lot of good stuff in here. I think the cast really helps this movie. Like we said, Tilda Swinton, Rachel Weisz is doing good. Peter Stormare. I think there's a lot of good stuff in this movie. I'll recommend it to you. Watch Constantine. I'm surprised I'm recommending it. Not that I had bad feelings about it before, but I didn't know how it was going to hold up now. Mm-hmm. And it still does. So yeah, Constantine. I recommend it. Colin.
I suppose I'm trying to think if there's something else that is like the epitome of this era, maybe in comic books, maybe movies, but the idea of like the supernatural detective, I like it because it's checking a bunch of boxes.
You really liked Angel, didn't you?
The TV show?
Yeah.
I did actually. Yeah. I liked it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. Cause it had like a similar, cause it has like, there's like a film noir vibe. I don't know if that's true, but you know what I mean? It's like that gritty post seven, landscape of Los Angeles, the grimy, dark, you know,
It's
fighting the underbelly.
It's pretty slick in this, but I get what you're saying.
There's the private detective, but he's an occult detective. And so he's, you know, going after a religious, mystery. Then it's like there, so there's a horror aspect mm-hmm. to yep. it. I mean, even though it's like focused on, I don't know if they're big action scenes. So there's big set pieces that you would expect yeah. from a big budget movie. And then this, I guess the thing that to me is the most attractive about it is like these little lore drops, like the whole mm-hmm. way through. It's like they're always kind of, and you know, dropping like, you know, this thing came from this and it does this, you know,
yeah.
you have this history. It's like there is a movie that took place before this that is interesting that I, not that I want to see a prequel, but that kind of, it feels like they, there is a world that's alluded to that happened before this particular story yeah. took place. And so, you know, all that, like, you know, he goes to Papa Midnight to use the chair, you know, and like, nobody uses the chair that, you know, breaks the balance. And then when yeah. he gets to the chair, it's like, it, you know, it's like from Sing Sing.
Yeah,
and
it had, the like electric 200, chair from Sing Sing.
Yeah, 200 souls packed through. Then you're like, you're finding all this out. And then he's like, which way is east? And it points and like, why does it have to face east? I don't know, but it's cool. You know what I mean? It's like
right. it's
there's
a
this
element,
ritual to like how all this stuff flavor. Has to take place that I guess I dig about it. Because the actual script itself is not the not all that great. There was a scene that I sat there and I'm like, this has to be like the hardest thing for actors to do. And it was Keanu Reeves had Rachel Weisz in a, I think it was in the hospital room where it's like, you know, tell me what you think, Angela. Tell me what you, what would she do? You know?
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, wow, this is one of those like generic, like acting scenes that it feels like they do in like acting classes.
Yeah.
It's yep. edited well, it's executed well, but you're like, what's really happening here? We have to force her to somehow come up with a memory that's going to unlock the next part of this movie.
Right.
How are we going to do it? We're just going to yell at each other and through the magic
traumatize of, her until yeah. she fucking remembers. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was really like, okay, guys, you're not really trying very hard here on the scripting level, but you know, so it's a mixed bag, but I think if the things I've just described to you appeal to you, it's like a comic book horror occult detective movie and the devil shows up at the end. And it's got cool, you know, like James Bond characters surrounding it. So,
well, because there's like the whole like holy war thing. It's like a it's a genre of fantasy.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
I, it really I, is. That I yeah. love like. That's the thing. Like, I don't believe in this bullshit,
right.
but it's a genre of fantasy that appeals to me.
Yeah.
That's a good.
It's got that
it.
Kind of yeah. dark. And did it all come from like, well, I know obviously this predated Spawn, but Spawn would be like the other one of that era that, you know, where comic books just seem to be going like Witchblade and
yeah.
the
yeah.
darkness and, you yeah. know, all that kind of stuff. I would recommend Constantine. You should check it out. All right. Next week, we're going to watch a movie that's chosen by
Sean. What are we watching next week? Do you know?
I do.
What are we? Oh,
no,
I feel like you're about to punish us.
I don't like it.
Oh, I don't like this face. You've got Grinch face.
He's like, I have to do this.
Why do you have Grinch
I
face?
I don't have feel to. Good about it. We're going to be watching Paul Verhoeven's Hollow Man.
Oh, boy.
Hate
all right.
You.
Yeah.
That's,
yep.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Was
all right.
I hate you.
I think we got to do it.
Do we?
I think
we
had
don't
to come
have
at some
to
point.
Do anything.
I think it had to come at some point.
The beauty of the show is that we get to pick. That's the point.
That's the whole thing.
Well, this is the Invisible Man.
It's
for
the Invisible
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah,
if nothing else, we're going to have a good discussion.
I am curious as to why you guys hate it so much, but wait, don't tell me. Oh, you're going to have to tune in next week to find out.
I can't believe that's even a question of why we would hate it.
Yeah.
If you've seen the movie, there's
you know
lots
why.
To hate.
You know why.
Oh, interesting.
And we'll get into that next
on next week's episode. We hope you'll join us.
And it's fine if you hate us.
And until then,
this is some high standard that I love.
This is going to be a rage episode.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Good.
All
somebody
right.
else will rage but me.
Okay, well, that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. We hope you'll join us. And until then, ladies and germs, the basement is going dark.